From the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Thursday, February 24th, 2022. Coming up this hour.
It is the worst security crisis in Europe since World War II.
Russia launches missiles, artillery, and air attacks on Ukraine.
Vladimir Putin vows to demilitarize the country and replace its leaders.
The conflict upends markets as global stocks tumble, treasuries rally, and oil surges.
Top Manhattan DA prosecutors probing the criminal case against former President Trump have quit. Plus, Canada lifts its emergency powers after ending truck protests. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stashower in sports. Kemba Walker will not play again this season for the Knicks. A loss for St. John's. The Nets and Rangers both have games tonight.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
And good morning. I'm Karen Moscow.
I'm Nathan Hager. Bloomberg Daybreak brought to you by SEI. Crises emphasize character and partnership. One mission, one community. SEI. Go to SEIC.com/IMS.
Global stocks tumbling this morning. Energy prices surging as Russia attacks Ukraine. 5:01 on Wall Street. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. Right now, S&P futures are down 86 points. Dow futures down 685. NASDAQ futures down 346. That's down 2.6%. 10-year Treasury up 1 1/32. The yield 1.87%. Nathan.
Karen, this huge market reaction follows the latest developments out of Ukraine. Russian forces have attacked targets across the country. Ukraine is calling this a full-scale invasion. Amy Morris joins us with the latest from our Bloomberg 99.1 newsroom in Washington.
Russia launched a barrage of missile, artillery, and air attacks, triggering the worst security crisis Europe has witnessed in decades. Ukraine's border guard says it's being shelled from five regions, including from Crimea in the south and Belarus to the north, and that Russian forces had crossed into the country. Citizens are being moved into shelters. Security camera footage shows a line of Russian military vehicles crossing into Ukraine from Crimea. President Biden plans to address the American people to announce further punishments to be placed on Moscow. In Washington, I'm Amy Morris, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Amy, thank you. In Ukraine, President Volodymyr Zelensky has imposed martial law. He had this message for Ukrainian citizens.
Нам не нужна война.
We don't need a cold or hot or hybrid war. But if we are attacked by troops, if they try to take away our country, our freedom of life, the lives of our children, we will defend ourselves.
Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky says he is building an anti-Putin coalition after speaking with several world leaders. He calls for immediate sanctions on Russia, as well as defense and financial support for Ukraine.
Well, meantime, in Russia, Karen, President Vladimir Putin announced the attack in a televised address to his nation.
I decided to conduct a special military operation. Its goal is the protection of the people who, for 8 years, suffered from abuse and genocide from the Kiev regime.
Despite the attack, President Putin insists he does not plan to occupy Ukraine.
Nathan, Putin's speech lasted 28 minutes. He claimed the U.S. and its allies crossed Russia's red lines by expanding the NATO alliance. We get more from Bloomberg News editor Tony Halpin in Moscow.
He made a long speech in which he basically argued that the West continued to present a threat to Russia and that the expansion of NATO had crossed Russia's red lines in regard to Ukraine. And as a result of that, he was launching this military operation. Initially, they spoke about the Donbass, but then spoke further about demilitarizing Ukraine as a whole.
Bloomberg's Tony Halpin says President Putin claims he is taking action to protect civilians from Ukraine's military, though there's no evidence they were under any threat.
Ukraine's foreign minister Dmytro Kuleba says Putin could have been deterred if there'd been sanctions sooner. Even before the attack, he was calling for stronger penalties on Russia.
It sends a strong message to Putin, but it still doesn't stop him. So it means we need more sanctions. We need the second wave and then probably the third wave until it gets clear to him that he shouldn't make any step further.
Ukrainian Foreign Minister Dmytro Kuleba spoke exclusively to Bloomberg Radio and Television. You can stay tuned for more of that conversation. We'll have it for you shortly here on Bloomberg Daybreak.
Well, Nathan, as we said, the Russian attack is upending markets this morning. Stocks tumbling, treasuries rallying, oil surging. The plunge in equities is worse in Europe at the moment. And we go live to London and get the very latest with the Bloomberg Daybreak Europe anchor, Caroline Hepker. Good morning, Caroline.
Karen, Nathan, good morning. Russia's invasion of Ukraine has set up the worst conflict in Europe since World War II. Russia's MOEX has plunged the most on record, wiping out about $180 billion in stock market value. The ruble falls to a record low against the dollar. Germany's Xetra DAX slumps 3.7% at the moment. The euro has dropped too. European bonds have soared along with commodities. Europe's energy prices, the benchmark in the Netherlands, futures rising as much as 41%. The dollar and Swiss franc have also jumped up 0.5% higher this morning. Live in London, I'm Caroline Hepker for Bloomberg Daybreak.
Caroline, thank you. The losses were also heavy in Asia overnight. Let's get that recap from Bloomberg's Juliet Sally in our Singapore bureau. Good morning, Juliet.
Good morning, Nathan and Karen. The MSCI Asia Pacific Index had its biggest one-day drop in a year, falling to November 2020 lows, as markets from Singapore, Australia, Hong Kong extended losses of around 3%. Australia's 10-year bond yield dropping as much as 11 basis points. The yen leading gains in the G10 space. Elsewhere, the won weakened as the Bank of Korea kept rates on hold at 1.25%. Governor Lee noting the Ukraine crisis could have a significant impact on inflation. In Singapore, Juliet Sali, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Juliet, thank you. When it comes to the attack, China is calling for restraint but is not condemning Russia's actions. Beijing repeated criticism that the U.S. was to blame for hyping the prospect of war in Eastern Europe. It says China and Russia are strategic partners and trade will continue as normal.
Well, in the meantime, Karen, we are seeing major moves in energy markets this morning. Oil is surging, crossing $100 a barrel for the first time since 2014. It could go even higher from here, according to Neil Beveridge at Sanford Bernstein.
Yeah, I don't think we've seen the highest prices yet. I mean, I expect prices to rally up to $110, $120 a barrel.
Neil Beveridge at Sanford Bernstein and checking prices now. Brent crude is up 8.2% at $104.76 a barrel. West Texas Intermediate's up almost 8% now at $99.37. And stocks are falling around the world. We have S&P futures down 78 points right now. Dow futures down 620. NASDAQ futures lower by 310 points. That's a drop of 2.3%. The 10-year Treasury up 1 1/32nd with a yield 1.87%. Local headlines and a check of sports next. This is Bloomberg. It's now 5:07 on Wall Street, 31 degrees in Central Park with some winter weather expected later this evening. We'll get details on that for you shortly as we continue to monitor events in Ukraine. Michael Barr is here with more on what's going on in New York and around the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Nathan. Winter, every time you think you're out, they pull you back in. It was in the mid-60s in New York City yesterday. By tonight, here comes the snow. Bloomberg meteorologist Rob Carolin has the latest.
Michael, the tri-state area has a messy mix of precipitation headed our way. We'll look for a few late-day snow showers, but it looks like snow develops during the evening. Along the coast, it's going to change over to sleet, then go over to freezing rain. That should limit the accumulations in the city to about 1 to 3 inches. It's the areas to the northwest and the north of the city that could see 3 to 6 inches of snow before that change over to sleet, then some freezing rain and rain. It all should wind down very early tomorrow morning, improving conditions tomorrow afternoon. Michael?
Rob, thank you very much. The future of the Manhattan criminal investigation into former President Donald Trump is now in question. Two prosecutors in charge of the Manhattan District Attorney's criminal investigation into Trump have suddenly resigned. A spokesperson for DA Alvin Bragg says Kerry Dunn and Mark Pomeranz both resigned. Both started on the probe under former District Attorney Cyrus Vance Jr. and were asked to stay when Bragg took office. Legal analyst Lori Levinson was asked about the impact on the criminal probe.
It's hard to know exactly because it's a bit like reading tea leaves. But when you have the prosecutors who were brought in to put together a case against Trump decide abruptly that they're leaving the DA's office, it's at least a suggestion that there's disagreements among the head office.
Loyola Law School professor Lori Levinson. Meanwhile, the separate criminal case being conducted in cooperation with New York Attorney General Letitia James continues. New York Mayor Eric Adams says he could be easing COVID restrictions in the city soon. Adams said yesterday he will likely be easing some of the indoor mask and vaccine mandates. The mayor says he will release more details in the coming weeks. A former New York City Police Union president was released on a $250,000 bail. Ed Mullins pleaded not guilty to stealing hundreds of thousands of dollars from the union. Canada is lifting the emergency powers and enacted more than a week ago to get street protests under control. Hundreds of semis and other heavy vehicles blockaded downtown Ottawa for weeks. Global news 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts, more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Thanks, Michael. Coming up to 5:10 on Wall Street, time for the Bloomberg Sports Update with John Stanshauer.
Nathan, Knicks put out a surprising statement yesterday that the season is over for Kemba Walker, not due to injury, although Walker has a knee injury that has contributed him to not playing like he did in Charlotte, who was a four-time All-Star. This appears to be at least somewhat of a mutual decision. It ends a strange season for the New York City native. He was the starting point guard, then got taken completely out of the rotation, and then due to injuries and COVID, he returned again as the starter. Actually had a 44-point game, but now his season is over. Knicks return to the All-Star break tomorrow in Miami. Nets got some good news on their point guard. As just heard earlier, Mayor Adams looking to phase out the vaccine mandate, and that would allow the unvaccinated Kyrie Irving to play home games for the first time this season. The Brooklyn coach, Steve Nash.
I think he's working towards being able to play in every game. So if the mandate is lifted, the expectation would be that he can play in all our games. I think that's what he's been waiting for and what he's excited about. And if the opportunity arises, you know, the plan and the goal is for him to play every night.
Nets tonight return to the All-Star break. They host Boston. St. John's had a 7-point lead at the half. Back came Creighton to win 81-78. Blue Jays' sixth win in a row. Rough night for Julian Cimpagni, the Red Storm's leading scorer. He shot just 3 of 16. Seton Hall beat Butler 66-60. Pirates got 35 points from the bench. Much improved Fordham beat LaSalle 60-54. Rams having their best season since 2016. Rutgers lost at Michigan 71-62. Wolverines playing for the first time without suspended coach Juwan Howard. MLB announced if there's no lockout ending labor deal by Monday, there will not be a full 162-game season. John Stashauer, Bloomberg Sports, Nathan.
All right, John, thank you. S&P futures now down 74 points. Dow futures down 604. NASDAQ futures lower by 299 points. Brent crude up 8.3%, $104.81 a barrel. The latest on Ukraine next with Bloomberg's Rosalind Matheson. Stay with us. This is Bloomberg. Bloomberg 11:30 weather. Cloudy, snow showers possible late today, changing to sleet and rain overnight with highs in the upper 30s today. Upper 30s tomorrow with rain ending. It'll be sunny in mid-30s by Saturday. Currently 31 in Central Park.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. Global stocks and U.S. stock index futures are tumbling this morning while bonds and oil soar as Russian President Vladimir Putin's decision to order a military attack on Ukraine casts a pall over global markets. Brent crude is jumping. It's over $105 a barrel. That's for the first time since 2014. It's up 8.4%. NYMEX crude oil also jumping up 8.25% at $99.67 a barrel. Again, futures are lower with S&P futures down 82 points, Dow futures down 661, and NASDAQ futures down 340. That's down 2.6%. The DAX in Germany is down 4.1%. 10-year Treasury up 1.33%, yield 1.86%, and the yield on the 2-year 1.49%. COMEX gold up 3%, up $58 at $1968.50 an ounce. The euro 1.1197 against the dollar. British pound 1.3428. The yen at 114.72. And watching Bitcoin this morning moving lower at $35,200. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael, good morning.
Good morning, Karen. Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky is urging global leaders to provide defense assistance to Ukraine and help protect its airspace from Russia. It comes amid Russia's attack on Ukraine. Zelensky said that Russia has unleashed war with Ukraine and has declared martial law. Ukraine's interior ministry said that the capital, Kiev, was being targeted and urged citizens to go to shelters. In the U.S., President Joe Biden says he will be imposing severe sanctions on Russia. Major League Baseball gave locked out players until Monday to salvage March 31st openers and a full season. MLB told the union that games would be canceled if a labor contract is not agreed to by then. Global News 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Bard. This is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Okay, Michael, thanks. It's 519 on Wall Street, live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak, and Rosalyn Matheson joins us now, Bloomberg News Executive Editor for International Relations, as we continue monitoring the war in Ukraine. Roz, good morning. This is the moment many market participants, a lot of analysts thought couldn't happen, couldn't believe that Russian President Vladimir Putin would move against Ukraine, given the history in that region. But here we are.
Indeed, here we are. And of course, following weeks of warnings from the US, UK and other Western nations that their intelligence was pointing to this very moment, given the sustained buildup of troops around a large part of the Ukrainian border from the north to the east, and of course, naval vessels in the south. And that's what we're seeing play out today, which is a multi-pronged attack on Ukraine from those different directions. We've seen aerial shelling of cities. We're seeing troops moving in. That goes well beyond what the Russian president was saying only a day or two ago, which was that he might send what he called peacekeepers into the disputed areas of eastern Ukraine only. This is clearly a full-scale invasion. And Putin says, in fact, he wants to remove the government that's currently there.
And we had heard warnings in the lead up to this from President Biden and allies in Europe that Russia might use some kind of pretext to justify what we are seeing now on the ground. Given that context, do we have a sense that this has sort of played out the way that the allies expected that it would, that Putin was going to go ahead in this fashion?
Well, certainly we saw that move earlier this week by the Russian president to recognize the two breakaway areas in Donbass in eastern Ukraine. And then he signed treaties with them, which allowed him to send troops in and to put bases there. And of course, now he says that he needs to go in to help those separatists because they asked him to do so. So that if there was a pretext for his move today, that was it. But obviously what he's doing is clearly going well beyond just the Donbass area and is a full attack on Ukraine more properly. And the question is, like, what is his final intention in all of that? And where is that conflict headed? And we're just very in the early days here, and it's far too soon to say.
Yeah, it certainly is the key question here as we wait for U.S. allies and Europeans to meet later on this morning to discuss the situation and their response. What could the response be at this point, given that the threat of sanctions and the sanctions that have rolled out so far, as we're seeing, have failed to deter Putin in his intentions?
Well, we're seeing, as you say, immediate responses from around the world, condemnation from many nations in the West. And of course, the US, the EU and the UK all saying, well, we're going to hit you even harder with sanctions than the first round, because admittedly, that was pretty limited and didn't have that much of an effect. So they're going to have to do something bigger than that. What we'll probably see is sectoral sanctions affecting things like energy, the technology sector, basically the ability of Russia to buy key technology and access it, our funding again in various types of markets for the financial sector as a whole. But the thing that would be the nuclear option here is to cut them out of the global payment system that's known as SWIFT. And at this stage, it doesn't seem as though that's going to be on the table, given the collateral damage that would also cause the economies of Europe and elsewhere if it's imposed. So that's probably where the line may get drawn. The question is, Russia's been so heavily sanctioned for so many years, its economy is sort of used to it in a way and has become a bit more self-reliant, especially in terms of not needing so many imports. And Putin's been boosted by the state of the commodities market. That's really helped him and his coffers. So the question is, what extent even harsher sanctions might have in changing his course on this? It seems like he's pretty set with what he wants to do.
Yeah, you mentioned the difficulty that Europe faces on imposing sanctions that could go even further, given how entrenched the European economy is with Russia. I mean, how much pain is Europe willing to take?
Well, that is the question. In the past few weeks, we've been hearing about a lot of division within Europe and the US about how hard to go, because as you say, Europe is more exposed economically to Russia, not just reliant on them for energy, but on other things also. And so the impact on Europe could be markedly higher, for example, than it is on the US. And that's caused some disquiet in Europe about how hard to go. So it will be interesting to see from the European Union today when they meet where that line is for them. We can see just today with the rise in energy markets, oil prices and so on, like that actually has a very big impact on the European economy. And that's certainly something they'll be thinking about.
Yeah, and as we continue to watch the market reaction as well, we're seeing a sharp rally in the energy sector right now, with both Brent and West Texas Intermediate crude up above $100 a barrel. NYMEX crude is at $100.15, and Brent is at $105.29. Bloomberg's Rosalind Matheson, our executive editor for international relations, as always, good to get the very latest from
Special Military Operations. Its goal is the protection of the people who, for 8 years, suffered from abuse and genocide from the Kiev regime.
Despite the attack, Russian President Putin insists he does not plan to occupy Ukraine.
Well, meantime, in Ukraine, Karen, President Volodymyr Zelensky has imposed martial law and cut off diplomatic ties with Russia. The president had this message for his citizens.
Нам не нужна война.
We don't need a cold or hot or hybrid war, but if we are attacked by troops, if they try to take away our country, our freedom of life, the lives of our children, we will defend ourselves.
Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky is calling for immediate escalated sanctions on Russia, and he is also seeking defense and financial support for Ukraine.
Western powers are condemning the military incursion and vowing to step up penalties on Russia, Nathan. President Biden said the U.S. and its allies will impose, quote, severe sanctions. The president will address the American people later today.
Well, while we await those remarks, Karen, the attack is upending global markets this morning. Dow futures are down 700 points, and European averages are lower by more than 4%. Russian shares slumped by the most on record.
And we're seeing major moves in the energy markets as well, Nathan. Oil has surged above $100 a barrel for the first time since 2014. Neil Beveridge is a senior analyst at Sanford Bernstein.
Yeah, I mean, I expect prices to rally up to $110, $120 a barrel. Markets are very well supported by the low inventories that we had coming into this crisis. Already we've seen a physical deficit in the market.
And we check prices now with NYMEX crude oil up 8.8%, up $8.11 at $100.13 a barrel. Brent also jumping up 8.9% or $8.63 at $105.48 a barrel.
Now we are seeing a rush to haven assets this morning, Karen. U.S. 10-year yields dropped as much as 13 basis points. Right now, the 10-year yield is at 1.85%, and gold has hit a more than one-year high right now at $1,971.40 an ounce. That is a gain on the session of 3.2%.
Yeah, and futures are falling, as we said, Nathan. S&P futures down 86 points. That's down more than 2%. Dow futures also down more than 2%, down 695 points. NASDAQ futures down 355 points, or 2.6%. The DAX in Germany is down 4.5%. The CAC in Paris down 4.3%. And the FTSE 100 is down 2.8%. Again, the 10-year Treasury up 1.63%. The yield 1.85% and the yield on the 2-year 1.48%. The euro 1.1176 against the dollar, British pound 1.3424, and the yen 114.68. Straight ahead, your latest local headlines, plus a check of sports, and this is Bloomberg.
All right, Karen, thank you. It's 5:33 on Wall Street. We're at 31 degrees in Central Park, awaiting the return of wintry weather. Let's get more on that and what else is happening in New York City with Bloomberg's Michael Barr. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Nathan. It is weather whiplash from mid-60s in New York City yesterday to a winter storm tonight. Bloomberg meteorologist Rob Carolyn has the latest.
Michael, the tri-state area has a messy mix of precipitation headed our way. We'll look for a few late-day snow showers, but it looks like snow develops during the evening. Along the coast, it's going to change over to sleet, then go over to freezing rain. That should limit the accumulations in the city to about 1 to 3 inches. It's the areas to the northwest and the north of the city that could see 3 to 6 inches of snow before that change over to sleet, then some freezing rain and rain. It all should wind down very early tomorrow morning, improving conditions tomorrow afternoon. Michael?
Rob, thank you, sir. It's a major twist in the probe against former President Trump's real estate company. Two prosecutors investigating Trump have resigned from the Manhattan District Attorney's Office. Legal analyst Lori Levinson says the future of the probe under DA Alvin Bragg is now in doubt.
It may be that Bragg doesn't think this is how he wants his office to be known, that this is too much of a fight, that there's not enough to get out of it, or frankly, that there isn't the evidence.
Loyola Law Professor Lori Levinson. Both Kerry Dunn and Mark Pomerantz started on the criminal probe under former DA Cyrus Vance and were asked to stay when Bragg took office in January. Meanwhile, a separate Trump investigation by New York State Attorney General Letitia James continues. Canada is lifting the emergency powers it enacted more than a week ago to get street protests under control. Prime Minister Justin Trudeau.
We are confident that existing laws and bylaws are now sufficient to keep people safe.
Prime Minister Trudeau's government invoked the Emergencies Act after hundreds of semis and other heavy vehicles blockaded downtown Ottawa for 3 weeks. A new Associated Press NORC poll finds that white Americans are far less likely to be highly enthusiastic about the idea of a black woman justice to the Supreme Court than black Americans. Global News, 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
All right, Michael, thanks. 5:35 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg Sports Update. Here again is John Stanshauer.
All right, Nathan, a tale of two New York City point guards. Kemba Walker out, Kyrie Irving perhaps back in full-time. Knicks announced that Walker, what was apparently his decision, but one the Knicks had no problem with, will not play the rest of the season. He was brought in as a four-time All-Star back in his hometown, but it was clear he was not the same player, and Tom Thibodeau sat him on the bench for every game in a three-week span. Walker did return, but he's only had one game in his last 12 where he scored in double figures, and Derrick Rose is now returning from injury, so Kemba's playing time was going to decrease. Knicks losers of 13 their last 16 play tomorrow in Miami. Nets tonight host the Celtics. No Kyrie Irving. It's a home game. He's unvaccinated, but word now that the city may phase out the mandate. Nets coach Steve Nash would love to have Kyrie road and home.
Kyrie's been great on the practice floor. He's been great in film sessions. He's been creating dialogue over aspects of our play. So I sense a real focus and urgency from him. And so if that's any indication, I would say he is getting excited at the prospect of being allowed to play in all our games.
College hoops, St. John's. Blue Elite lost at home to Creighton 81-78. That leaves the Red Storm 15-12, 7-9 in the Big East, where Seton Hall beat Butler 66-60. Rutgers lost at Michigan. Fordham beat LaSalle to get to 500. Duke avenged an earlier loss to Virginia. We now have a date, and it is Monday. If no lockout-ending labor deal, then the baseball season will not be 162 games. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan?
Okay, John, thank you. It is 5:37 on Wall Street. Time for the Tri-State Business Report with Bloomberg's Ed Corey.
New York Mayor Eric Adams wants the city to move towards phasing out its proof of vaccination requirement for patrons of restaurants, bars, and other indoor spaces. The city began the vaccine policy, also known as Key to NYC, last fall. A union organizer and a couple of workers were arrested Wednesday outside of an Amazon warehouse in New York, another sign of tension between the company and labor groups. Christian Smalls, president of the Amazon Labor Union, was charged with trespassing, resisting arrest, and obstructing governmental administration. Amtrak's CEO tells Bloomberg the Gateway Rail Tunnel between New York and New Jersey is ready for federal funding now that the environmental reviews have been completed. The project will be funded from money that's separate from the $66 billion that was included in the $550 billion infrastructure measure passed by Congress. That's your Bloomberg Tri-State Business Report. I'm Ed Corey.
Thank you, Ed. It's 5:38 on Wall Street. Bloomberg Radio is on the air from San Francisco to New York, London to Hong Kong. Let's check in with our global news team for some of the top stories heard on our 300 affiliate radio stations around the world.
I'm Steve Potosk, and on KNX in Los Angeles, we're talking about how higher costs are hindering a solution to housing the city's homeless.
I'm Denise Pellegrini on WHAS in Louisville. Churchill Downs races ahead.
I'm Gina Cervetti, and for WBBM in Chicago, I'm reporting that Russia's attack on Ukraine is putting a vital source of global grain supplies at risk sending wheat and corn markets surging.
I'm Caroline Hepke, Bloomberg DAB Digital Radio in London. We're reporting on preparations for fresh UK sanctions against Russia as Boris Johnson accuses Putin of choosing the path of bloodshed and destruction.
I'm Ed Corey on WWJ in Detroit. I'm reporting the Fairlane Town Center shopping mall is about to be sold.
Those are some of the stories our 2,700 Bloomberg journalists and analysts are working on this morning around the world. It's 5:39 on Wall Street.
The following is an editorial from Bloomberg Opinion.
This editorial was written by the Bloomberg Editorial Board. As the pandemic appears to recede across the U.S., the country's economic outlook is difficult to assess. But this uncertainty does not make prudent fiscal control any less necessary. The immediate problem is an excess of demand relative to available supply. This has caused inflation to surge, confronting the Federal Reserve with a delicate challenge to tighten monetary policy without tipping the economy into a recession. Lawmakers should realize that new tax cuts or spending increases risk, adding to the problem. To be sure, a sudden severe tightening of fiscal policy would be unwise while recovery's prospects are still in doubt. But that doesn't mean policymakers can throw caution to the wind. Just the opposite. It has perhaps never been more important to spend taxpayer dollars cautiously. This editorial was written by the Bloomberg Editorial Board. For more Bloomberg Opinion, please go to Bloomberg.com/opinion or O-P-I-N go on the Bloomberg Terminal.
This has been Bloomberg Opinion.
You can hear Bloomberg Opinion editorials every weekday at this time. Terminal customers can read more at O-P-I-N go. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Bloomberg 1130 weather, clouds, snow showers possible late today, changing over to sleet and rain tonight. Highs in the upper 30s today and tomorrow. Will be sunny in mid-30s by Saturday. Right now, 30 degrees in Central Park.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. Global stocks and U.S. stock index futures are tumbling this morning. Bonds and oil soaring as Russian President Vladimir Putin's decision to order a military attack on Ukraine casts a pall over global markets. Brent crude reached $105 a barrel for the first time since 2014, while NYMEX crude briefly passed $100. And we're going to check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. Taking a look at oil right now with NYMEX crude oil up 8.2%, up $7.55 now at $99.64 a barrel. Brent is up 8.3%. It's at $104.71 right now. S&P futures again lower, down 82 points. Dow futures down 672. NASDAQ futures down 338. That's down 2.5%. The DAX in Germany is down 4.4%. The 10-year Treasury up 1.4 seconds. The yield 1.86%. The yield on the 2-year 1.49%. COMEX gold up 3.2%, up $60.30 at 1970.60 an ounce. The euro 1.1179 against the dollar. British pound 1.3425. And the yen is at 114.70. Bitcoin's moving lower, down more than 6% at $35,190. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, thank you very much. It is the worst security crisis in Europe since World War II. Russian forces attack targets across Ukraine after President Vladimir Putin vowed to demilitarize the country and replace its leaders. The West threatened further punishing sanctions in response. Ukraine's interior ministry said that the capital, Kiev, was under attack and urged citizens to go to shelters. Major League Baseball said only 5 days remain to salvage March 31st openers and a full season, telling locked-out players that games would be canceled if a labor contract is not agreed to by the end of Monday. Global news 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
All right, Michael, thanks. It's 5:49 on Wall Street, live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. As we continue to monitor the conflict in Ukraine, we are joined by Bloomberg News editor Tony Halpin in Moscow. Tony, good morning. Thanks for being with us. Can you get us up to speed on the events so far?
Yes, good morning. Ukraine has said that its forces are defending themselves and that they're under attack inside the country itself, with battles taking place, including near the second largest city, Kharkiv, and that Kiev has been under assault. Casualties are mounting, and Russia has said that it intends to continue this operation, as you've heard, to demilitarize the country and replace Ukraine's leadership.
Right. We did hear from President Vladimir Putin in the lead up to this attack when he says things like demilitarization and removing the leaders of Ukraine. It sounds as though he's going much further than just recognizing these breakaway republics in the east when you have Ukraine being attacked from all sides now, Tony.
Yes, it's gone well beyond that at this point. I mean, Putin yesterday said that they were willing to send Russian troops in to defend these breakaway regions that he had already recognized. But as you say, the fighting has gone well beyond that now, and the ambition of the Russian government has gone well beyond that now. They're talking about the fact of what kind of government should be in Ukraine, and they clearly don't accept the current authorities and want to replace them, and they intend to do so, it seems, by force.
And the president of Russia said that his red lines were crossed, and that's his rationale for this attack. What are these red lines that he's speaking of?
Yes, here he's blaming the U.S. and NATO. He said all along that NATO's expansion to the east and its engagement with Ukraine poses a threat to Russia's own security, and that the U.S. and its allies have been ignoring his demands to take account of Russia's concerns in all of that. NATO's response has always been that it's a defensive alliance and it doesn't pose any threat to Russia. But clearly now Putin has decided that he doesn't accept that anymore, and what he wants to do is assert Russia's security interests, and he views that as an invasion of Ukraine.
And as you say, Russian President Putin has said he's willing to take this as far as he's willing to go here. But in terms of the economic impact, the kind of sanctions that the U.S. and NATO say they're willing to deploy against Russia, how much economic pain is he willing to take as this conflict goes on?
Well, there's already been considerable pain. Russia's stock market has wiped out something like $250 billion of value this morning. The ruble's at a record low, and Russian debt costs against default have soared to the highest since 2009. So the pain is considerable. Putin has already called a meeting, which will happen later on today, of Russian tycoons, and it's clear there that he'll seek to either reassure them or summon or demand their support for his actions. Russia's central bank has also been trying to support the currency. So the pain is considerable already. U.S. and European leaders have said that the further sanctions are coming down the pipeline. So I think there's no sign of respite in the nearest future.
Bloomberg's Tony Halpin with us this morning from Moscow. Tony, thank you for being with us this morning. And we want to get more now on the market reaction as the flight to safety continues this morning. Matt Maley joins us now, chief market strategist at Miller Tabak. Matt, we're seeing oil above $100 a barrel, at least on the benchmark Brent crude, and futures plummeting this morning. Is this a bear market?
Well, it's, you know, yes, it is. I mean, it's something that I've been looking for really since before for the first of this year, but it had more to do with, of course, what was going on with the Federal Reserve than this. This is a more this is a newer situation, but I do think it's kind of funny when things like this happen. You get people on Wall Street who say, you know, don't panic. And but those are the people who tend to be kind of permabulls. Well, I'm certainly not a permabull because I've been calling for at least a deep correction, and yet I am also saying don't panic. A lot of this, some of this anyway, has already been priced in. You know, a lot of the decline in January, of course, was because of the concerns over what was going on with the Fed. But this has been priced in more recently, especially the rise in oil. And the market is oversold. Sentiment is very negative. People need to be very, especially shorter term traders need to be very careful about making negative bets here. You know, the old saying goes is that, you know, when the war drums are beating, the stock, you know, the market goes down, and when the shooting actually starts, that's when people should buy. And it'll be interesting to see if we'll see that same kind of thing. Of course, the higher oil prices are going to, you know, creates more problem, even more problems about inflation. So we need, you know, I think intermediate term, but people who panic here, I think are going to be, are going to feel, are going to get burned, I guess is my point.
Okay, so in that context of staying calm, how do you advise investors to stay calm? Where do you put your money right now?
Well, I mean, you know, one of the things that I've been saying for a while, of course, has been to raise a little bit of cash, but also play that, you know, stay in that defensive mode where you're looking at areas in the consumer staples and such. But also you look at those stocks that that pay good, not just pay good dividends, because some that pay really good dividends are sometimes a little questionable, but the ones that pay good, solid dividends and pay have a record of increasing those dividends every single year for many years. And there's a good group of names that comes, not just one or two of those. I mean, there's several dozen. And those are the ones. And the reason why that, of course, is that if the market goes lower over time, you get paid to wait. And that's really what you want you to do. I mean, it's the whole idea here is to not just weather the storm, but profit from it. And if you're those areas that are doing better, that's going to help out. And I guess the biggest thing is that do the things that will give you the confidence, because at some point a bear market comes to an end or even a deep correction, and most people are losing their heads and they're selling, they're panicking. And if you've got some cash on the sidelines, you've been defensive, and you've done more than just weather the storm, you're the one that's going to have the confidence to buy.
Well, we are seeing that selling in the price action certainly this morning. But if we do see more inflationary pressures, Matt, if oil does continue to grind higher, what does that mean for the Fed as it considers rate hikes this year?
That's, you know, but, you know, talk about being put between a rock and a hard place. I mean, they, you know, the whole thing is that when, you know, people talk about, well, they'll pivot like they did at the very end of 2018 and early 2019, but inflation was non-existent back then. They could afford to pivot. Now, can they? I mean, could they do that even before this was going to happen, you know, this huge spike in oil prices? I mean, if they're fighting inflation, no matter what the markets are doing, you would think they'd still have to keep tightening. Now, having said that, I do think they would have to be a little less aggressive, because obviously, no matter what they were going to do was going to cause. No matter how aggressively they went, it would cause a slowdown in growth. Now, with this going on, with you know, inflation will spike even more with higher oil prices, and the slowing of the economy that will go with that, they've got to be more careful. So I think they'll have to be more gradual.
All right. Matt Maley, as always, good to get your thoughts. Thanks for being with us this morning. Matt Maley is Chief Market Strategist at Miller Tabak, and the markets are certainly seeing a lot of action this morning, Karen.
Indeed, Nathan. S&P futures is down 90 points this morning. Dow futures down 728. And NASDAQ futures down 366, or 2.7%. The 10-year Treasury up 1 7/32. The yield 1.85%. The yield on the 2-year 1.48%. Oil jumping, with NYMEX crude oil up 8.2%, up $7.57 at $99.66 a barrel. And Brent up more than 8% as well at $104.94. And still ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak, we have a check on the business headlines, all the news you need to start your day as well. And this is Bloomberg.